This is from Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 6. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, and no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off of your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere.
Thanks very much, Aaron. That's brilliant. Wonderful. Since the beginning of the year, I've been relaunching our Rock Christian Centre vision, and then we also had the Partnership Sunday as well. And today I'm back in my series in the Gospel of Luke that we were looking at quite some time ago now, and under the title of Jesus is for Everyone. And that's good news, isn't it? Because it means that Jesus is for every single one of us here today. And we've got to chapter 9, and this Jesus sending out, the story of Jesus sending out the 12, and in chapter 10 when he sends out the 72 as well. And this fits brilliantly with part of our fourfold vision. Part of that fourfold vision is growing out in evangelism and mission, and that is my title from these verses today. The disciples have been discovering over these early chapters of Luke who Jesus is. They've witnessed Jesus' power at work in the calming of the storm, the deliverance of the mad Gadarene, the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. Now Jesus comes to the 12 disciples in chapter 9 and the 72 in chapter 10 and says, now it's your turn. You go and say what I've been saying. You go and do what I've been doing. You go and replicate and multiply what I have been teaching and doing. This is what Jesus is saying in these verses. Who knows that at that point, the disciples would have been really bricking it. They would have been thinking, we didn't sign up for this. You know, it's been great, isn't it? It's been so exciting for them, seeing and hearing what Jesus has been doing. But this is out of our league. We can't say and do what Jesus does. People want to hear and see Jesus himself, not us. I wonder if you've ever signed up for a training course. And it's great, isn't it, going to a training course and you get taught all the theory. And that's great. And then the trainer says, now I want each one of you to give it a go. And all of a sudden you slide down in your seat and you try to make yourself look invisible and you hope, you know, you avoid their gaze because you're hoping you're not going to get picked to be the one who actually has to put what you've been learning into practice, particularly if you haven't actually been listening too well. I have many memories of being in school in that sort of situation. I wasn't a very good student at school, and so often I wouldn't actually be concentrating at all, and all of a sudden they'd pick me out to actually explain what has just been taught or do something, and I'd actually got a clue what the guy had been talking about because I'd been so bored and turned off. You know, we don't want to make a fool of ourselves, do we? None of us want to make a fool of ourselves. We don't want to mess it up. We think that it's beyond our capability. And we have 1,000 other excuses as well. But there is no escape for genuine disciples of Jesus. Jesus calls each one of us to put our faith into action. You see, Jesus is not just about teaching us theory. He's teaching us about practice as well, putting our faith into action. And there's a wonderful promise here because when we do put our faith into action, the fruit will come. And we will be amazed that God can use even me. even you, God can use. Isn't that incredible? You know, because the trouble is we know what we're like. And it amazes me that he should ever have chosen me and used me. Because I know all my faults and failures. Tricia knows quite a few of them as well, particularly after 40 years of marriage. But it's amazing, isn't it? God in his mercy and his grace still chooses to use me, and he chooses to use you as well. So what can we learn from Jesus' words and actions in sending out the 12 in Luke chapter 9? First of all, they were chosen, called, empowered, and sent by Jesus. So they were chosen, called, empowered, and sent by Jesus. Each of the 12 disciples had been personally chosen by Jesus. They didn't volunteer. They didn't ask to be his disciples. He chose them by name. He invited them to follow him. And if you are a real, genuine Christian here today, you have been chosen by Jesus, praise God. You didn't volunteer to become a Christian. You might think that you asked Jesus into your life. In actual fact, the only reason you asked Jesus into your life was because he was already at work. The Holy Spirit was already at work in your life, bringing you to that decision. What does 1 Peter 2, verses 9 to 10 say? But you are a chosen people. God chose you. That should make you feel special. Makes me feel special. You know that God knows everything about me, and yet he still chose me. God knows everything about you, all your warts, all your faults, all your failings, and yet he chose you. Now, sometimes, if I may say it reverently, we can question his sanity when we look at ourselves, because we would never have chosen ourselves. You know, if we'd been starting a new religious movement, if you like, a movement of faith, I don't think any of us would have chosen the 12 that Jesus chose, would we? Because what a rum lot they were. And then you look around this church, you think, wow, you know, it's a bit amazing that God chose any of us, isn't it? No, most of us probably wouldn't have chosen the other people who we're sitting next to. No, if we really knew what we were like, goodness gracious me. That's one of the problems of church, isn't it? One of the problems is that God throws us, Jesus throws us all together, and we come from all different cultures and backgrounds and educational backgrounds and religious backgrounds and different places and different styles and everything else. And he says, you get on with it. You get on together. And you serve the Lord. That's incredible. God chose you. God chose me. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You are a prince of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are a princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're not a nobody if you're a Christian. You're a child of God. You're a prince, a princess of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are a holy nation. You don't feel very holy. But God, through his righteousness, has made us holy by what he's done. God's special possession, it says in the version I've got in front of me. God's special possession. You know, when you've got a special possession at home, well, I sometimes go into some of your homes and I see your special possessions. You know, you have them on the wall or on the mantelpiece or something like that. It's something that you treasure, something that's special to you. It may not have great monetary value. It might be a photo of a loved one. But it's special to you. And that is how God views you and me, that we are his special possession. That's mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. That should revolutionize our lives. It doesn't matter what we have about self-esteem. It doesn't matter how bad our self-esteem is. If we really believe what God thinks of us, that's far more important than what we think about ourselves. What other people may have said to you about you when you were younger. You are God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You see, there it is. You may be all those things, but there's a purpose for that. God did not save you to be a bum on a seat on a Sunday morning at Rock Christian Center. He saved you so that you would declare declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Did you enjoy the worship this morning?
Yes.
Yeah, about 10 of you. Didn't seem like it. No, it was great worship. It's wonderful to worship the Lord. We know if we're declaring the praises of God, then, you know, we're declaring the praises of God who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have something to declare. We have a message to proclaim. And this relates to what we're talking about. So the truth that we're chosen needs to lie at the heart of our Christian faith. It is our God-given security. Jesus has chosen you. You are a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, God's special possession. And those amazing truths should transform, totally transform our lives. But those truths, as I say, are not just to be reveled in. They are that we may declare his praises. Trisha and myself have been teaching the Growing Leaders course. And there's a diagram that lies at the core of that course. And it should come up on the screen in a moment. And the fact that we are chosen, can we have that diagram up on the screen? There we are. The fact that we are chosen lies at the heart of everything. That is our security. And from being chosen, then we are called. Jesus has called us. It matters about our character that we're living lives in accordance with his calling. And that then builds onto our competence as well. But part of that competence is growing out in evangelism and mission. But, you know, many Christians think that evangelism mission is just for the really keen Christians. Just for the evangelists. Those who've got the gift of evangelism. Just for church leaders. You see, Jesus didn't just send Peter and his inner circle of disciples. He sent all of them. And then he sends another 72 a chapter later in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus calls all Christians to go and make disciples of all nations, to go out with the good news of Jesus Christ. But Jesus didn't just choose them. He didn't just call them. He didn't just send them. Jesus equipped them as well. And it says he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and cure diseases. This power and authority was not some external sort of external power that came upon them like a Marvel superhero. Jesus gave them his own power and authority. They were to go in the same power and authority Jesus had been operating in. They had no power or authority of their own. And Jesus gave the 12 and then the 72 his own power and authority. Luke 4, verse 31 to 36 tells us that when Jesus preached in Capernaum, all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out." You see the same words? Jesus gives the disciples his own power and authority. He gives them that power and authority to do the works that they have seen him do, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And they're doing it as though they were Jesus himself. They are his ambassadors. They are carrying his authority. They are carrying his power. And that's why it's so important when we tell others about Jesus and his kingdom that we pray, when we pray for the sick or seek to deliver people from demons, we do it in the name of Jesus, don't we? Not by our own name. We do it in the name of Jesus, by the power of Jesus, by his authority, not our own authority, because we have no authority on our own. It is only through the name of Jesus, only through the power of Jesus. And if you've been chosen by Jesus, if you've been called by Jesus, if you've been sent by Jesus, he will equip you with his authority and power to grow out in evangelism and mission. And then secondly, Jesus gave them a message to preach or proclaim. He sent them out, it says, to preach the kingdom of God. No, Jesus never sent his disciples out just to do social action projects. He never sent his disciples out just to heal the sick or deliver from demons or perform other signs and wonders. There is always a message to proclaim. There is always a message to preach. There is always a message to tell. There is always a message to share. And in the vast majority of gospel stories that you find in the New Testament about Jesus and the early church in Acts, the signs and wonders followed the preaching of the good news of Jesus. So it's vitally important that we proclaim, that we preach, that we tell others the good news of Jesus. It's no good just going out in power and zapping people left, right, and center unless we actually tell them what it's all about. It's no good if people just get healed from sickness but end up in hell. There's a message to proclaim. It's vitally important. It's there right in the heart of every New Testament story. The preaching, the proclamation comes first, and the signs and wonders followed. Be wary, and I say this carefully, be wary of any ministry that just focuses on signs and wonders and doesn't proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be wary of any church social action project that doesn't communicate the good news of Jesus in some way or another. You know, I am so thankful that the thousands, and it is thousands, more than 10,000 people now who use our food bank and use our lighthouse and use our CAP debt center, they are each presented with a gospel. They're presented with the good news of Jesus Christ. They get one of these in each food parcel. And many of them have the opportunity to chat to a Christian believer. Many of them are asked and invited whether they want to have prayer for a need. Because we're not just feeding the poor, we're proclaiming, we're preaching the good news of Jesus. Because it is the good news of Jesus that will transform their lives. Not just a food parcel, not just a cooked breakfast at the lighthouse on a Thursday morning, not just getting free from a financial debt through the CAP debt center. The gospel needs to lie at the heart of everything that we communicate and everything that we do as a church, and it's so important that we do that. The gospel of the kingdom at the heart of everything we do is part of our vision as a church. And it's wonderful that here this morning, there are believers here amongst us this morning whose first point of contact with this church was through the social action projects that we do. Through the food bank, through the CAP debt center, through the Lighthouse ministry. We wouldn't know them apart from those ministries. But now they are part of the family of God. They've discovered the truth of Jesus, and it has transformed their lives, not just socially, but spiritually as well. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. It's so important. So Jesus commissions the disciples to preach the kingdom of God, and we all have that same commission. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? What is God's sovereign rule and reign over all things? It is the kingdom where God reigns supreme. That's what we worship. That's why we worship God, because he reigns supreme. He is sovereign over all. That song that I love so much, which I stuck down and said I want it at my funeral. Unless I live for so long that it's really out of date. God's kingdom is where Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is king. And the good news of the kingdom is that Jesus, the Son of God, has come to save his people from their sins and establish his rule and reign in their lives and in their hearts. When the kingdom of God is advancing, the kingdom of Satan is pushed back, and people are released and set free from the devil's grip and power. Did you realize that's what's happening when Jesus ministers? In the book of Acts, what we find when Jesus is ministering is the kingdom of God is advancing. And when the kingdom of God advances, So those who are held in the grip, and everything that's held in the grip of darkness and the kingdom of Satan, retreats. And that is why people are set free. That is why people are healed. That is why you see wonderful release. People are forgiven. Because the kingdom of God is advancing. The kingdom of Satan is retreating. And people are set free and released from the devil's grip and power. Praise God. Just think for a moment. Amos Bitrus was reminding us earlier of the war that's going on at the moment between Russia and Ukraine. And we've seen it on our news, haven't we? When the Ukraine forces regain a town that was under Russian control, the people are set free. They are liberated. They can come out of their cellars into the sunlight. They have been rescued and delivered. Their wounds can begin to be dressed. They can get help, which they couldn't get before. And it's exactly the same when the kingdom of God advances. People are set free from sin. They're set free from addiction. They're set free from disease. They're set free from demonic oppression. And that's why Jesus told us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your kingdom come." So what stops you telling others about Jesus? What stops me telling other people about Jesus and preaching the kingdom of God? So often we think we don't know enough. So often we think that. So often we feel inadequate. Maybe you feel you're not very good at speaking to people, and you know, I daren't tell people about Jesus. We give loads of excuses, don't we? You know, we talk about friendship evangelism, so we build friendship with people. The problem is you build such good friendship with them, you daren't tell them about Jesus because you're frightened that you'd lose their friendship. That's the problem with friendship evangelism, isn't it? And I've been guilty of that. You build a great relationship with someone, but never actually get around to tell them about Jesus because you don't want to lose their friendship anymore. Don't want to offend them. Don't upset them. We give loads of excuses. You know, I'm showing my age now, but after I became a Christian, I used to go hitchhiking. I don't know whether any of you are familiar with hitchhiking, but I used to stand on the motorway, stick out my hand like that, sometimes with a sign saying where I wanted to go, and get picked up. And I did it mainly for Jesus. You know, I was passionate about Jesus. I'd just become a Christian, and I used to get picked up. Unfortunately, I didn't have any of these. Didn't know about Pocket Testament League and Gospels and things like that. So it was just me standing by the road. I had some amazing experiences. Some good, some not so good. I got picked up by two separate gay men. That's the only time I've had to jump out of a car while it was still moving. Because the shepherd decided he'd just finished with his partner up in Scotland and he was on his way down south, and he decided that I was going to be his next partner. And his hands were wandering from the driver's side to the passenger side. So we pulled into a service station, and I exited the car while it was still moving. Let's get out of that. One time, you know, I got picked up. It was a dream lift. It was a really nice, I love cars, it was a really nice luxury car. And there was this, I got in the car, really decent of him to stop and pick me up, and there was this diminutive little chap driving this car, tiny little man driving this car. I'm quite tall, you know, I felt, goodness, I'm much bigger than him. And he got chatting. It didn't help too much because it turned out, I think he was someone like Willie Carson. I got no idea about horse racing, so he was a bit offended the fact that I didn't recognise who he was. Because he was someone really famous. He was a jockey, that was why he was so small. And but anyway, he asked so many questions, and I couldn't answer a lot of his questions because I'd only been a Christian a short while. And I think, you know, I really want to be able to answer people's questions. So in the end, I went to Bible college so that I would learn how to answer people's questions. I ended up, after 3 years of doing a degree in theology, with more questions than I had answers. Now, that's what it happens, isn't it? But, you know, it doesn't actually matter how much or how little you know? Just share Jesus. Just share Jesus and the reality in your heart and your life. Just think for a moment about these 12 and the 72 disciples. What would they have been preaching as they went from village to village? You think you don't know very much, and you don't know the Bible very well, and therefore you can't tell other people about Jesus. Well, just think for a moment, what could they tell? They couldn't preach about the cross and how Jesus had died to save them, because Jesus hadn't died yet. So he couldn't bring any of that out. He couldn't talk about how Jesus had paid the price for their sin, because the cross hadn't happened. Jesus had only just started his ministry. They weren't even too sure who Jesus was. Did you realize that? Only a few days earlier, when he calmed the storm, they were asking the question, who is this? Who can control the wind and the waves? They weren't too sure who Jesus was. But he still sent them out. They hadn't yet been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. They hadn't been on an evangelism training course. Amazing, isn't it? What on earth did they tell the people? What on earth did they communicate? What on earth did they preach? I think they just repeated what they'd heard Jesus say and do. All they had was their experience of Jesus. And if Jesus has come into your life and if he's transformed your life, you can simply tell people about what he's done for you. Because that is the good news of the kingdom. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. You don't need all the deep theology. You don't need to understand everything. There's loads of questions we don't understand the answers to. There's loads of questions that, you know, we'll ask when we get to heaven if we get the chance, but we'd be so busy bowing down and worshipping the Lord and singing our hearts out, we'll forget to ask them anyway. But, you know, we don't need all of that. Just share your experience of Jesus. There's a power in the testimony. There's a power in your testimony. People can deny the Bible, but they can't deny the fact that you're sitting next to them telling them that Jesus has transformed your life. And that's what these disciples did. I think they would have simply said, do you know, God is doing something new, something exciting. Jesus speaks with power and authority. We've seen him do amazing miracles. You should have been there. He even calmed the storm. He heals people. He delivers people. We think he's the Messiah sent from God. Come and experience his kingdom. Be set free from sickness and demonic activity. See Jesus at work. And if you have experienced Jesus transforming your life, you have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. A message to proclaim to others. You may have only become a Christian a few weeks ago. Start telling other people, your family and friends, what Jesus has done for you. The problem is for those of us who are like professional Christians, I hate that phrase. You know, we've been Christians for donkey's years. We haven't got any non-Christian friends anymore. You know, it's those who are new Christians who've got all the friends and the family who don't yet know Jesus. Just share the testimony of Jesus, what Jesus has done in your life. Start praying for people to be set free from sin and sickness and Satan's grip. It really is that simple. And then finally, and very quickly, thirdly, depend on God. Prove God's provision. You know, Jesus gives the disciples a pretty rough deal, doesn't he? They're being sent out to preach and to heal people, but they're given no resources to accomplish their mission. He told them, take nothing for the journey. A lot easier packing for holidays. Take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? The disciples had been traveling with Jesus for the past weeks and months. They knew that Jesus himself had no home, he had no security, he had no food or money, but his needs were always met, weren't they? And Jesus is simply asking them to live as he did, to do what they had seen him do, to depend on God's provision for them, not their own resources, to trust God and to put their trust in God. And Jesus expected that they would get warmly welcomed in most villages. But if they were rejected, he tells them to move on to the next village, shake the dust off their feet, which means declare that village unclean. Shaking your dust off the feet is declaring that village unclean. If people accepted them, they were accepting Jesus. If people rejected his disciples, they were rejecting Jesus. Those who rejected the kingdom of God may be Jews, but they were staying to choose in the kingdom of Satan and kingdom of darkness outside of God's rule and reign. So in summary, as I finish, Jesus chooses us. Jesus calls us, you and me. He equips you and me. He empowers you and me. He sends you and me. He gives us a message to proclaim, to teach, to model, to share with others. And he teaches us to depend on him for everything, to go out in faith and proclaim and to demonstrate the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. And as I pray, I'm going to ask Franco and the worship team to come up. We're going to have our final song. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in each one of our lives. Lord, we sang earlier, God is good, 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 good. Lord, we only know that you're good because we've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. Lord, help us to share that good news. Lord, to share our story with our family and our friends and our neighbours and our workmates and those around us, our neighbours, Lord, who do not know Jesus. Lord, help us to share what Jesus has done in our heart and lives. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. And come, Lord, fill us with your Spirit and send us out in the power of the Spirit. Fill us up and send us out. Amen.